This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, did you know ethics, culture, and team go hand in hand in a successful business? Well, doing the right thing means having full transparency, trust, and integrity. From the Aftermarket Radio Network, it's Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. Listen firsthand to my panel as they discuss Ethics 101 and some standout scenarios they've experienced. Thanks to our partners, Shopware and Broadly, for providing you this episode. You know, I don't know about you, but I would rather see a tech working under a hoist and then roaming aimlessly around your shop. Shopware's streamlined digital communication makes it really easy for your team to work together and get approvals faster. Find out more. Talk to my friends at GetShopware.com. Are you tired of wasting money on ads that no one sees? Well, Broadly can change that for you. It gets you more Google reviews, so prospects will see your shop when they search for auto repair in your area. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Andy Polina is here, owner of Legacy Auto Tech, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hello, Andy.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to be here.
Thank you for being here. How far, Bill, is Grand Rapids from where you are in Madison Heights?
2.5 hours, depending on who's driving. If Andy's driving, it's 2.5 hours. If I'm driving, it's 2 hours.
I never knew that about you.
It's a mechanic-owned car, too, so I might not even make it.
Oh, shoemakers, the shoemaker with the holes in his shoe. I get it.
Right. Always the last car to get worked on, our own cars.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan.
Gentlemen.
Always so kind to be here and bring his great wisdom. And a brand new voice to the podcast, Tom Shear from Shear's Sales and Service, Allentown, PA. Hey, Tom.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you here. 27 years in business. Did you start that 27 years ago? Or was it a family thing?
We actually bought that from my old boss. Worked for him in high school, went back to him after I was out of high school, and the rest is kind of history.
Okay, team. We're here to talk about ethics. We've never done a show specifically on ethics yet. We talk about ethics all the time, and because we talk to shop owners, how'd you get this successful? Well, so much of it had to do with the integrity of yourself and your team and your values. So, Andy, ethics means what? Doing what's right. And sometimes it's not easy, is it?
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's expensive. I mean, and sometimes it's like, oh, man. Some people try to dodge taking care of something that they maybe should take care of, I think, with some shops, especially when they're maybe hard up for money or they love money too much. But I think when you take that route, ultimately, if you don't do the right thing, it's going to catch up with you. I mean, what do they say? You can skin a sheep once or shear it 1,000 times.
You know, there's this do right rule, guys. We hear it all the time. I live by a do right rule, but it's my do right rule. It's my beliefs. It's my everything. Is there a book that someone wrote that says, here's your do right rule, here's what you have to follow? There's no Bible when it comes to personal business ethics, is there?
Absolutely not. No. I don't know. Ethics and morality, all that stuff tends to be used interchangeably. Supposedly, ethics are supposed to be kind of known throughout whatever industry you're in. It's just kind of common stuff, but that's definitely not the case. I mean, people, depending on their situations, their upbringings, or their faith, whatever the case may be, shapes everything. I mean, just because it's you think it's universally known, it most likely there's a lot of people who don't agree with it, and they don't last long, I guess.
And there's a different level of, you know, ethics that go in here. You know, mine may be different than Bill's, than Andy's, you know, everybody else. It's all kind of centered around your values and what you see is right and wrong.
Definite guidelines. And I think it goes for so many different sides of this industry. I mean, how you treat your peers and then in your neighborhood, your other shops, your employees, your customers. I mean, even the parts drivers, you treat everybody the same and do the right thing by them and good things come your way. That's for sure. Even if it is not the most immediately profitable, it'll be the best route to take in the long run.
You start in business, you don't know what's around the next corner. You don't know what you don't know. You slowly move yourself through the ranks of the business. You grow, you add people. You stop and you think deep, long and hard about the do right rule, the honesty and the integrity. I can't grow a great business unless I start doing this stuff. Can you ultimately, like you grow as a leader, can you grow with your ethics? Or is it day one? It's like your personality. This is what you were born to do or be. But can you grow? And you say yes, Andy. Explain that.
It evolves. I mean, not just with who you are growing as a person, but I mean, as society changes, everything. I mean, ethics change without a doubt. And you have to go looking for what is the correct thing to do all the time. And being able to have the humility to say that you weren't right at one point. And if you can't look at yourself and own your faults or your past unethical behavior, you're not going to grow and keep up.
Gentlemen, as I'm listening to you guys, one of the things that goes back to Rick White years ago, Coach Rick White, said listening doesn't occur unless the person who you're talking to actually understands what you can say, that you spoke clearly. But if that person doesn't understand what you were speaking, if they don't internalize it and there's agreement there, then that communication never occurred. Like, there's an active part of when it's working right. And yet we have problems with ethics, whether it's employees or whether it's customers. And we catch ourselves in a situation where we say, like, you know, I'm being ethical. How come I'm attracting this kind of energy into my business or into my life? And the best example I can give you is in the talking points invite, we brought up the airline industry. My wife, God bless her, my best friend in the whole world, is a little frugal with money. So there's a, you know, $46 flight to Orlando with airline A and a $246 flight with airline B. She chooses airline A. And by the time you get done with the luggage, $50 a luggage, by the time you get on, like the cattle car that it is, it didn't dawn on her how ethically challenged this company that she was doing business with was until she asked for some water. She said, well, water's going to be $3. She said, well, I just need to take some supplements. Can I just get a glass of water? The airline attendant said to her, I can't give you a glass of water, but what I can do is I can give you some ice and you can let it melt. And I just, as God is my witness, gentlemen, this happened. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, thank you, God. Thank you. Maybe, and this is a perfect lesson for all of us, because a lot of times we think that ethics is, well, I'm being ethical. I told you it was, you know, $14.95 for the oil change. And the car comes in and it's a death trap and you're going to change the oil on that car and send that customer off in a death trap. They're okay with it because you just told them that this thing needs a bunch of work. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just do the oil change. And then you send them off and a wheel falls off the car. Somebody who doesn't know that they're driving a death trap is going to be hurt or killed by this. Mm-hmm. To me, that's ethics. To me, that's from an industry standpoint. We have to be able to stand on the grounds that we are being ethical and that we have to do this a certain way. We have to be able to guide that customer through the transaction in order to achieve a lifetime relationship with them, mm-hmm. where it would be with additional referrals and building a whole business on that.
Bill, to your point, you wouldn't change oil if that was your own car in the condition that it was. So the do-right rule is, if it doesn't work for me, it doesn't work for my family, it doesn't work for in my world, in my beliefs, in my faith, then you just can't do it.
Yeah. And if you do business the right way, you can afford to fix that person's car for free if they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of it. Like, you know, the other part of this is the charitable part of this.
Wait a minute. You were just talking about being charitable. Spirit doesn't know how to do that.
You can do charity when you're doing business the right way, when you're in alignment with your values. And I think ethics, to Tom's point earlier, we may have different definitions of sort of where, you know, where our borders are and all that. But we know what our guidelines are. And so to the extent that we can stick with that, to the extent that we can stand on that and let our people know where our borders are, we're not going to cross that line. We're not going to install customer provided parts. We're not going to install used parts that we can't put a warranty behind. And forget about lying to the customer about whether the insurance company is going to stand behind us or not. Hell no. No, we don't do this. Because, Carm, why would you want me to install your part in this thing without a warranty? Why do you want to do this potentially twice or three times more expensively than the estimate that I just provided you here? We're not willing to have those conversations with customers. And because of that, to me, that's where the ethical challenge is. If we're willing to be courageous enough to have those conversations at the counter where it matters most or on the phone, then we avoid all of that one-star review garbage that's out there. Mm-hmm. You don't have somebody that's disillusioned that calls you unethical when it's not necessarily an unethical thing. It's just a lack of communication that turned into a whole drama centered around ethics or lack thereof.
Well, if you're running ethically too, I feel like if somebody, a customer, maybe thinks you're like your prices are high and say, you need to justify that cost to me. If you're running your business ethically, you can be totally transparent about it and explain why it costs that much to fix your car. I mean, it's and you have nothing to hide.
I think what you're just saying, Andy, is your value proposition for the customer is all based on integrity and ethics. This is why and what we're going to do.
Absolutely. And then when, like, say they do, I mean, I had a gentleman left here, drove to Iowa, steering rack, seals blew out of it on a reman rack. And he called and, you know, you can always tell they're expecting a fight. And when you just go, okay, well, and he's, you know, my wife's got to get home. She's got to work this. I'm like, okay, you get a hotel room, get a rental for your wife, anything, your meals, whatever. Give me receipts. I'll cover it all. And he's just like, well, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, and I'm not bragging or anything, but I'm just saying that's an example of if you back that stuff up and then they know you're not going to fight them on everything because it's ethical to take care of them. It's you sold them the part and then you have to go after the manufacturer to recoup that money. It's not their, it shouldn't cost them anything on top of what they paid here. So.
Tom, do our processes and procedures get in the way of doing these do right rules?
They can. You know, I mean, you can have something in place that's, you know, may hold you back from something. But at the same time, you have to have a team that is comfortable and confident that me as the owner, that I'm going to back them up in doing the right thing. You know, they may have to, veer off to the left or right from our standard procedures and adjust to take care of that customer. At the end of the day, you know, yeah, we're here to fix cars and maintain cars, but we're here to take care of our customer. And, you know, we take care of our customer. That's what's going to keep us going long term.
Yeah. Carm, what Tom just said hits the nail on the head. What he's talking about is having a conversation with, let's say that technician, we talk about DVIs, right? The reason that we do the DVIs, one of the reasons is because it adds, I don't know, $250 to $300 to the ARO, right? Is there anybody that's going to argue with us in the industry? The other side of that is that we owe that customer the report that they deserve, that they're paying for. Even if they're not paying for it, that vehicle, once it comes in, once we've touched that car, I don't care if we're putting air in the tires, if we send that vehicle out in a condition that somebody might say, well, where were you at last? Well, I was over at Interstate Auto Care. And they let you leave like that? I guess the difference between technicians that are going to stay with you for a career's worth time and guys that are sort of mercenaries that are traveling around town are guys that think that the digital inspection is because of the increased ARO. It's what the shop is going to make versus the character inside the shop that says, we do this because we want to let people know that their safety is paramount. And because we do that, we have this increased ARO. We have the fact that we don't have to put a lot of money in advertising and that we have the same crew that we've had together for 10, 15 years together. Mm-hmm. It all comes up through the character of the company, the people that are operating within it. It's like when it's working great, it's fantastic because when you get that 1%, 2% of people that are coming in that are ethically challenged, they're repelled by the energy inside that building. I mean, not to sound kooky, but I think you guys know what I'm talking about. People come in the door and immediately they just know that you're doing things the right way. You know, they come in, how much is your oil change? That's $75 to $80 or whatever the hell it is. Wow, how come I can't get a $30 oil change? And then all of a sudden you ask a question about why would you want a $30 oil change for a European vehicle? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to be buying $3,000 worth of work in a year and a half as a result of saving some money here? Mm-hmm. And if that customer doesn't understand what the value of that ethical value proposition is at that point, they're just, maybe they will understand, but maybe today's not the day for that.
Hey, we all have bad days when we just want to turn to someone and ask, how the heck do I fix this? When that happens to you on the business side, which may not be your strong suit, you want someone quick and you want them to be clear. That's exactly what Dan Groen from Detroit Garage found when he peppered the folks at Shopware with questions about how to make the most of its shop management system. As he puts it, they continually solve the curveballs we throw at them. With 7 shops, Dan jokes that he knows he's a demanding client, but that's the sign of a guy committed to his business. Even better, the Shopware support team met every challenge with, in Dan's words, impressive capabilities and vigor. No complaints, no hassles, just a commitment to help Dan through his day. As Dan says, we make each other stronger. Now that's a partnership that works. It's time. Get Shopware.com. Did you know there's actually a best time to ask a customer for an online review? It's true. According to Broadly, asking for a review right after service is key. Think about it. That's when the car looks good and the customer is happy and in the best frame of mind to give you a good review. And all those good reviews, well, that's what's going to get the attention of people who search for auto shops online and get you even more customers coming into your shop. Do you have a company helping you out with reviews? Do they make sure each customer is being asked to leave you a review? Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system. Help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Does a customer walk into your place or look at you online and get a ethical feel for you, your image, your look, your brand? How important is that? Obviously, I think I know the answer to that.
Yeah, yeah. I ask that question all the time when I say, how did you find us? They say, well, you know, we just found you on Google. And I say, well, so what struck you about it? They said, well, I really like the fact that, you know, you guys look like a tight-knit group. Well, yeah, we're hugging each other. And that's how we are here. They understand that.
You know? Yeah, we often get described as a barbershop.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're just a three-bay shop. This shop's been here for 100 years. And so, I mean, there's guys that just come in and drink coffee. And, yeah. You know, customers that, you know, they're retired, got to get away from the spouse for a little while, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. They come in and we just, you know, talk. And that's part of the thing. People like the old-time neighborhood shop feel. We're in the middle of a neighborhood, like a residential neighborhood. So it's got that old feel.
It's the general store, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's nothing to laugh about there. Those people, you know, they've sent you tens of thousands of dollars in customers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Over the years, you're a staple.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we, you know, and we had to, when I bought it from Jack, who had it for 42 years, I was big shoes to fill. And I had to make sure that I didn't lose that feel.
This seems to be a 101 a discussion, simple, basic, foundational stuff. But yet our industry has a terrible rep. Again, I don't think anybody who's a top shop, and probably 80% of my listeners say, yeah, oh, I get all this stuff. Why'd you do this? Because we're like that. You know why we do this? To advance the aftermarket, to get the people that are naysayers. They may be on the sidelines looking for answers and reasons to lift themselves up, which is why we continue to drive these great discussions. So, Tom, you were telling me that Rick White helped you develop something a few years back called the Rules of Engagement. Tell us about it.
If I take a step back, we worked on this when Rick was out doing an on-site visit with us. And, you know, he's like, okay, what do you want out of your team? And I started talking about, well, I don't want doing this. I don't want the people doing that. And, you know, he kind of stopped me. He's like, okay, he's like, that's great. But what do you want them to do? You know, let's focus on the positive rather than what you don't want. And let's start writing this up and, you know, getting this out and sharing this with your team. So, you know, we turned that focus around to talk about what we're looking for and how we're going to act, how we're going to treat each other and support each other and everything else, you know? And I mean, big thing is we're going to support each other. We're going to lift each other up and, you know, and help each other get through whatever's going on, whether that be personal, you know, or within the business. We talked through a bunch of the points that I wanted to stress on and focus on, and we kind of, you know, smoothed them out to make them sound good.
And they are?
So if I'm talking about my rules of engagement, I can go down through and talk about values. You know, family, we're going to treat each other with respect at all times. Caring, we're going to care for our customers and each other. We'll do life together and support each other. Lift others up around you when needed. And I can go on. I mean, this goes down through. So
I got goosebumps listening to them. I mean, a place that I would want to work, a family that I'd want to hang around. And it is, guys, doesn't the value set that Tom is speaking of, that Rick, I know, preaches all the time, doesn't that drive the do right rule, the ethics rule?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing when it comes together. I mean, here's a call conversion tip. This will add double digits to anybody's call conversion if you just align ethics with asking the right question. The Barry Barrett method, or the Rick White method of asking the right question, right? Customer calls up, wants a price on an engine, right? So you're wrestling back and forth. You can't give them a price because there's not enough information. And if we just look at it through the ethics of that. So in other words, if your price is right for them, and they hire you for $4,500 to bring the vehicle in, what happens when the vehicle comes in the door and it needs another $2,000 worth of front end work and brakes and all that stuff?
They think it's right? A bait and switch.
Are we still going forward with that? Instead of having a conversation over the phone and say, hey, by the way, because we do the kind of work that we do, and this is how you found us, because we're one of the best shops in town, let me ask you a question, Andy. Let's suppose the price is right for this engine here. You think we should be inspecting the vehicle before so that we can determine whether this vehicle is worth the investment? 100%. And all of a sudden, we're off the subject of price of this motor, and we're going to get this vehicle in the door to really find out whether this thing's worth the investment. I can't tell you. I mean, you gentlemen, I'm sure you've tried this, but there's got to be a 90% conversion rate for reasonable people over the phone when they hear somebody tuned in to their real value, and that is, that is this vehicle actually worth that? Mm-hmm. It's amazing how quickly you get them off that subject once you say, well, as you're pricing this stuff out, do you know if the vehicle needs anything else? Well, no, I don't think so. How many miles on the car? 145,000 miles. Have you done any work to the rest of the car? No, but I only have enough money for the engine. Well, that's great. But would you want to know whether this thing needs more work above and beyond what you think it's going to cost? Because I'd like to think that you do. And if they say no to that, they're probably not aligned with us at that point in time anyways, because mm-hmm. they clearly think this is all I'm going to spend, as if somehow you pricing out an engine over the phone is going to be the same price you walking out. Like, who does that? When was the last time you priced out a $4,500 job and the customer left for $4,500 or $40,000? You know, just
right.
Supplementary parts and all kinds of other stuff that needs to be dealt with.
Just so, asking the questions.
So again, it's that long-term view of understanding sort of how, who's got to be leading this customer mm-hmm. through this transaction that hopefully, done ethically and done with excellent communication throughout, leads to a long-term relationship.
Yeah, just asking those questions, that's a good point, Bill. I mean, that just makes you look more professional and more, you're not just draining pockets.
And it opens them up to the level of control, to the danger mm-hmm. of the journey that they're on.
And because the trust that you show them, I mean, that they're going to have trust. You're going to build trust with them for sure if you do that.
Sometimes there's like silence on the phone for like 5-10 seconds. And like, are you still there? Yeah. What's going through right now? You ask like, what's going through your head right now? Well, I'm just thinking about what you're saying right now. And sometimes they'll just say, well, yeah, I'm just going to keep looking. That's great. That's fantastic. But at least you're armed with the information of how dangerous this journey that you're on right now and how quickly this thing falls apart. How many shops out there you drive through? And to me, this is another ethically challenging situation. And I don't have a problem with shops that sell cars. What I have a problem with is, you've got parking spots for 30 vehicles and 10 spots are all used cars that you got from other customers and stuff. What happened to those vehicles?
Right.
Surely, and I oftentimes say to customers, I was like, if you're going to take it to this engine exchange place, and there are plenty of them here in this inner city and all that, how many cars are for sale? And ask the owner how they came across those vehicles. Mm-hmm. Those vehicles came in for the $2,000 engine replacement. And when it turned into a $4,000 engine replacement, the customer just let the car go and away they go. And we often ask the customers, like, is this who you want to deal with? Mm-hmm. Do you want to just hear unicorns and flowers? Or do you want to hear the real deal? Well, I want to hear the real deal. Let's get the vehicle in. Let's do an inspection before we talk about a dollar's worth of investment into this vehicle.
Thank God you don't have a problem with all used car people, because I'm a used car guy too.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, we've come across, all of our loaner cars are used cars.
That's right.
But that's the problem is you come across these vehicles and how does that happen? And, it's, you run into that sometimes. It's just, it's a fine line we're walking through as we're either we're going to fix the car or we'll buy the car from you. That's a fine line we got to walk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We call it the discovery conversation that you have to have with that customer, whether it's, have you had that with your longtime existing customer? if you haven't, you really need to kind of go through that to, you know, just make sure you're doing what's right for that customer along the way for their recommending maintenance and repairs. But also you need to have that with that new customer too, because that's going to set the stage for what, where you go with that new customer. You know, they may opt out themselves and say, you know what, man, you're too professional for me. You got, you know, you're going to want to fix everything, and that's not what I want. So, you know, it's very important.
What a nice thing to find that out at the beginning.
Right.
Before the one-star review, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Andy, in your talking points, you talked about how ethics applies to pricing, employee compensation, and warranty. I'd love for you to expound on that.
There's certain things that a customer won't even, like, for instance, like the gentleman who broke down in Iowa that I was talking about. There's things that he didn't even think to ask for, to be compensated for, that I was like, well, that probably cost him money. He probably lost a day's work. And I started volunteering those things. And yeah, it cost me money. And a lot of people are like, well, you don't have to go that far. And I'm like, I mean, is it right? I mean, that seems to me, because of this part failed that he paid you for, it didn't do what it was advertised to do, which you told him it was going to do. Now he lost a day's wages. He lost this, that. I mean, and not to mention time, the only true currency is time. So that's one instance. But employee compensation, if you screwed up and withdrew too much for their insurance payments and you find out, well, that's been going on for 2 years, you owe that guy tens of thousands of dollars. Don't ask me how I know that about this. But, you know, I could have just been like, oh, they're not going to find, you know, but it's the right thing to do. And some people can sleep at night that by turning a blind eye to that, but I don't, that's not going to turn out well.
And pricing needs to be fair for everyone, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's a hard one, because I mean, you do need to charge what you need to charge, but you better be able to back it up too. The value has to be there. Rick, full disclosure, he's my coach as well. Price really isn't the thing. It's the value behind it. What are they getting? And if you let them, I mean, we've all talked about that here many times. But that, pricing is hard. Some customers will think you're just gouging them no matter what. But, you know.
Is it fair to say that if the price is right, if our price is right, then we can afford to do the value that the customer deserves?
Absolutely.
I know we put price as sort of the last thing, and it is the last thing. I think it bears repeating over and over again to drill it into the last shop owner's head in this industry. If there's any sense of shame, if there's any hesitation that you have about raising your rates $10, $20 an hour, if you haven't figured out by now, with the inflation being where it's at, that prices have to go up, and you just have to just blindly, not be insensitive to it, but to be desensitized to the level that it goes up, that you just have to be able to say to that customer, absolutely, I agree with you. I can't believe how expensive things are, too. I remember this was, I think I mentioned this before, Carm. I think it was Mike Haley at ATI. Agree with somebody. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I can't believe how much electricity is costing and what payroll's costing and insurance and all that stuff. Now, Andy, will that be cash or credit?
Right.
And then this, yeah, you're right. I said my piece. But yeah, I can't believe how expensive this stuff is. And I'm not going to go anywhere else because Andy and Tom are the neighborhood shop that I go to. And, that, you know, they've been around forever.
Well, you mentioned inflation, too. And that was one thing that just came up. Actually, you know, thanks to my dad's guidance, who's retired. So he bothers me twice a week in here doing book work, stuff like that for me. But anyway, he's like, well, with inflation, what are you doing for cost of living increase this year? Didn't even think about it. I mean, 7%, roughly, yeah. 7.5%. Right. And that's one ethical thing. Were my employees asking for it? No. But you offer that up. And when you do those things, they're always going to feel like, I don't have to keep an eye on my boss, make sure he's, you know what I mean? And customers feel the same way. But when your team feels like that, that's when they're going to pass that down to the customers and that type of thing too. So it is just doing the right thing when nobody's looking to the integrity, you know, having integrity. So,
Bill, you said something in your talking points that I find fascinating. You said ethics aren't negotiable unless they are.
Yeah. It's a movable feast. You know, today, I don't think we should bypass a cylinder head job with stretch head bolts. But Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, when the technician says, well, we got to have these head bolts, what does Bill do at that point? Do we say, just, you know what, we can't get until Monday and we got to push this vehicle out because, you know, we told the customer it's going to be done today. What does the owner do at that point in time? What does the technician do at that point? Do we just rubber stamp it and say, yeah, it's all set. It's got our stamp of approval, when it really doesn't. And so I'm proud to say there's been plenty of times where we've held up a $4,000 job over some freaking 50-cent piece. Yeah. And every time I think to myself, damn it, you know, we got to get this thing done. Well, you know, and we'll backdate it and it'll be kicked out for this week and all that stuff. And no sooner do I kick myself and I think to myself, man, oh man, you know, here we are, this job is going to get held up. Do I realize the reason that it's being held up is because we have standards and procedures that are being followed. Thank God. Thank God we've got people back there that understand that they're part of the ownership here. We own it. We own this is their shop. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just the caretaker. I'm just the guy sort of overseeing it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a wonderful to see it come together. It's like we're so blessed to have good people that we've worked so hard for to prove to them what a proper place is, how it is that the federal government may not be able to pay their employees because they didn't get the funding from Congress. But God help you, if Interstate Auto Care, if Legacy Auto Care, or if Shears Sales and Service, if your check doesn't show up that Thursday, the world's coming to an end. Surely you need to understand that check will never, ever not show up mm-hmm. in your email box.
Well, like you said, if you're running it ethically, you're going to have the money. You're going to have the money to give that guy a rental because the stretch bolts didn't show up. I mean, and there won't be any hesitation. It's like, well, we got to do what's right here.
Yeah, the almighty dollar cannot necessarily always provide the judgment you make. Because Andy, in this case of the guy from Iowa, if you were going to hold hard and steadfast and not do a thing for that person because it was about the almighty dollar, you would have not only lost that customer forever, but he'll tell 10 people.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, is, like I said, not just getting away with as little as you can, even though he's happy. I mean, start adding the stuff up for him that he didn't even think about. Like I said, didn't even think, well, I lost a day's work. Well, you know, this, that, and how expensive it is for him.
What you do is looked upon by your people, is looked upon by your neighborhood, your society around you. And I think the leader of the business has to drive the integrity and the ethics of the business. Because if your hand's in the till, so will theirs be. And if you're treating a customer like this, then they're just going to get on your train. It's about the leadership, Bill. If you weren't the kind of guy, Tom, Andy, if you weren't the kind of guys that you'd have one of the businesses that we don't want in our cool kids club.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they make us look good. That's for sure. The other shops you're talking about, a bad reputation, but it doesn't do the industry a favor.
It doesn't. Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks for saying that.
I was going to say that in summary, it seems like if we're talking in mechanicals, right, it's a bunch of car guys here. It's like once you've primed this pump, this ethics pump, once you've primed it, it pretty much flows uninterrupted as long as the flow isn't interrupted. The minute the flow in the ethics is disrupted, all of a sudden now you've got to work back again to get that prime to get that pump to prime back up. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot less work to just keep it there once you've got it there than it is to play these games with policy procedures that just send things in disarray and lose people. Now it takes you a year to recover from all that nonsense.
Bill Nalu, thank you. Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights. Andy, I'll give you a summary point. Anything that you wanted to say that you didn't?
There's no perfect solution in every situation. It's a series of trade-offs, but you always need to weigh the trade-offs in your customer, your team's favor, or else you're not going to have anything. I mean, look out for them first, or you might as well pack up.
So your dad, has he been in business with you?
He actually owned an insurance agency, started selling insurance when he was very young, door to door. But no, he owned an insurance agency, which is, he thinks this place is cool because he says we actually do things here. Like he can watch things being done instead of, you know.
Well, thank God he's got a place to come and hang out.
Yes. No, I love having him. He's like a mascot around here, you know.
A mascot. Nice. You know, that's a job I could have someday, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never Absolutely. Thought about that. Wow.
I'm working on being the mascot here as well.
I could sell myself out for a mascot. I love that. Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Andy Polina, Legacy Auto Tech, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Tom Scheer from Scheer's Sales and Service, Allentown, PA, Euro Specialist. Tom, I'll give you the last word.
Leading by example, really showing that your customers that you care, showing your team and your employees that they care, that you care about them. And that's going to all transfer over to, you know, how the team takes care of our clients. I think, Bill, you had mentioned that a little bit earlier. Focusing on that customer and not focusing on the almighty dollar. Because, you know, as a technician, we're not going to focus on the paycheck. We're going to focus on the process. And once we get the process down, the hours are going to come and you're going to be more efficient. You know, with the on the service advisor side, you know, you're going to focus on taking good care of that customer and helping be transparent and address their needs to that point, not what we want out of them. Mm-hmm. And the sales come with that. That's really important. And, you know, the thing for me is, you know, great team. My team makes me look good every day. And I joke around about that with my customers. I just said it this morning. And but it's true.
Well, you must be a great leader for them to follow with you. Congrats to all of that. Guys, this was great. Our first real serious discussion on ethics. I call it Ethics 101. Appreciate you being here. Have a great Easter weekend.
Hi, guys.
Thank you.
Happy Easter.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.